Russia has violated international humanitarian law, amounting to war crimes in Ukraine. That's according to a new report out today by the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. The 108-page report details many instances of violations by Russian forces, and it comes as President Biden for the first time called Russia's offensive a genocide, and as Russian President Vladimir Putin said talks with Ukraine are at a dead end. He's saying that Russian operations in Ukraine would continue until, quote, full completion. Meanwhile, new satellite images appear to show a Russian convoy heading toward eastern Ukraine. Dalton Bennett is in eastern Ukraine in Kramatorsk, the site of that deadly train strike. He's an investigative reporter with our editorial partners at The Washington Post. Dalton, glad to have you back.
Great to be with you.
It's great to have you. Earlier today, Dalton, you were texting from a bomb shelter. Can you tell us where you are now and what you're seeing?
So right now we are in the city of Kramatorsk. It is the regional capital of the Donetsk region. And, you know, it's been pouring rain. The fields are muddy. We decided to relocate here in order to do, to get a good idea of what exactly is happening on the ground. You know, we have spent the past 2 weeks here, but, you know, as far as we can tell, it's a ghost town here, right? There are Russian forces within 30 miles of this city, and there's a lot of anticipation in the air. There's a lot of consternation in the air over, you know, when this expected advance might take place.
You say it's a ghost town, so most people are out? They've been able to get out? Who's not leaving?
Well, there are still people here right now. I mean, after the train strike had taken place, there were definitely people that were afraid. They were afraid to use public transportation. This train system had been vital. I mean, we had tens of thousands of people were able to evacuate from the city by using this train system. They're coming from neighboring regions. But after this train strike has taken place, now it's any means necessary, right? So it's private vehicles or it's buses. But I mean, there are those that are afraid, right? Or in other cases of people that, you know, I'm from here, no matter what happens, I'm not leaving. I can't give up my home. We've been through a war now for almost a decade, and I'm staying.
And is aid coming into them to help them in the event of an attack?
We are seeing aid deliveries. There are groups and organizations that are providing food for those that have stayed behind. I mean, one of the challenges is that, you know, there are miles-long gas lines for those that remain in the city of Kramatorsk. There's only one gas station that we're able to find. We also see that, you know, there are no grocery stores open. The kiosks that might have food, they're only open for a couple hours a day, right? They're, despite the weather, you know, for the couple hours that we were out a bit earlier, we did see people out and about. We did see kind of people popping into whatever shop that was open. But truly, there is a real sense of fear and consternation as to, you know, what lies ahead. We know just 30 miles up the road is this massive grouping of Russian forces.
And tell us more about that. They are on the move. It's an 8-mile-long Russian convoy. You can see it in the satellite images.
I mean, this convoy, as you said, it was so large that you can see it from space. And we know that Russian forces have gathered and are using this area in this town called Azum, and it's a very strategically located town. From that area, they've been moving forward or attempting to move forward kind of inch by inch as the days progress. I suspect that in just from the folks that we've talked to on the ground is that the recent weather here has definitely been sort of a damper on the progress that they could potentially make. I mean, we have really, really saturated lands. And if you're trying to move a tank through a field and it's muddy, I mean, there's a good chance that you're going to get stuck. So that's more or less what the situation is right now. I mean, we know over this past week, we have seen a huge number of Ukrainian troops moving to this area. There obviously are reports that Western military aid has been received by those forces on the ground. Just about 5 days ago, there was a video that has circulated, and we were able to confirm with fighters in the ground that they had used a British anti-aircraft system to down a Russian drone, something that wouldn't have been possible without this Western military aid. So as far as we know, yes, it is a very dynamic situation, but right now at this very moment, it's been relatively quiet in the city of Kramatorsk.
I want to ask you about the reaction there to Russian President Vladimir Putin's comments yesterday that peace talks with Ukraine had reached, quote, a dead end. He said that Russia's goals moving forward will focus control on the Donbass region, not on all of Ukraine. It's really the first time he's defined a more limited aim for the war. Do Ukrainians know about this? And if so, what's their reaction?
Here in the East, most people that we've spoken with do not care what Vladimir Putin has to say. They are solely focused on survival and protecting their community, their cities, and their loved ones. They've been at war for the past 10 years now, and now the Russian forces are 30 miles away. Despite what Putin might say in front of the cameras about the peace talks, people are still being shelled within the Donbas region, towns and villages. There are still people dying. The war is here. Regardless of the status of the negotiations, there's been no real reprieve for the people of the Donbas.
That's the Washington Post, Dalton Bennett in Kramatorsk, Ukraine. Dalton, thank you very much.
Thank you.